Hey everyone, it's Kathy.
And Paul here with Adulting.
We're here to help you navigate the crazy world of adulting.
Because let's be real, it's a wild ride. We'll be dropping tips, sharing stories,
and maybe even spilling some embarrassing secrets along the way.
So get comfortable, grab your favorite drink, get ready to laugh, learn, and level up your adulting game. This is Adulting. Don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe, and share this podcast. Head over to adulting.com for more information and to submit questions for us about adulting.
And maybe even pick up some of our new merchandise. And if you know any fellow adults who need some guidance, send them our way.
Welcome to the episode.
Today we're going to be talking about mental health awareness and maybe some tricks that you can do to improve your mental health.
Before we dive deeper into today's episode, we want to give you a quick, important disclaimer. We, Kathy and Paul, the hosts of Adulting, are not mental health professionals. The topics we discuss during this podcast are for entertainment and informational purposes only and should not be taken as professional advice. And that goes for most of our advice.
If anything we talk about resonates with you and you feel the need for support, please reach out to a qualified mental health professional. There are so many resources available at your fingertips. And taking care of your mental well-being is crucial. You can find information and support by searching online for mental health resources in your area. Your mental health is important, and getting the right help is a sign of strength.
Very much a sign of strength. And if you're in the United States, you can dial 988 and get some help that way.
So here are some tips that we feel can safeguard your mental health.
I am huge on some of these. I call them my keystone habits. The first one is prioritize your sleep. I know life is busy and you feel like you don't want to miss out on things. So FOMO fear is a real thing. But aim for 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep per night. You want to establish a regular sleep schedule and create a relaxing bedtime routine.
Right. So if your plan is to go to bed at 10 p.m. and get up at 6 a.m., perfectly 8 hours, make sure that before 10 p.m., you are getting yourself ready for bed. Brush your teeth, unwind, turn your screens off. Blue light is a big, big, big proponent of restless sleep. And make sure you, you know, put on your pajamas, get yourself ready for bed. Do all of that before your 10 p.m. bedtime.
My nighttime routine, I go upstairs when it comes time, and I actually have an alarm set on my smartphone. So it'll send me upstairs to take care of this. I go upstairs, I take care of my skin care routine, as I like to call it. I just wash my face. I take care of my teeth. I brush my teeth and take care of that. And then I sit down and for me, I do reflective journaling in the evening. I list my wins, my losses, and I get all the random thoughts that are just bouncing around in my head out on the paper because I find it helps me sleep better. The most important part for me of my routine is I then text my family, because we all don't live under the same roof anymore, a good night wish to show them I'm thinking about them. And I get a warm, fuzzy feeling when I think about all my wonderful family members.
And it also lets them know that he's going to bed. So the texting and calling kind of needs to wind down for the evening.
And then after that, I have a very quick meditation. Yes, I said it. Here I am, 53-year-old tough guy. I spend about 5 minutes every day doing a mindful meditation to get in the moment, and it helps me relax and go to sleep. Incidentally, I can prove to you through my Fitbit app that it drops my heart rate significantly every time I do it.
The next is to stay active. Engage in physical exercise. Exercise releases endorphins, which have mood-boosting effects. I'm not saying join a gym. I'm not saying run a marathon. Just go outside every day. If it's too cold, do it inside. Give yourself 20 to 30 minutes of regular exercise. It will absolutely boost your mood.
And we're not talking just do as I say, not as I do. How long would you say we spend in an average day on exercise?
Probably anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour.
And that would be 5-6 days a week?
Well, you 6 days a week. I'm not as good.
I can attest that it actually does work and you feel much better when you're getting regular exercise. Next is practicing mindfulness. Incorporate mindful techniques into your daily routine. Mindfulness can help reduce stress and improve focus.
Can you explain to people what mindfulness is? Because not everyone knows that word.
Mindfulness, to me, is just getting in the now. I had a very hard time getting into the now. My life is such that I was always worried about the what ifs and the big catastrophes that could happen and being planned for and prepared for, which I found in my own life led to a lot of anxiety about future things, also known as future tripping. What I find now is by taking a minute to pause, take some deep breaths, and get into right now and shift my focus onto what's good about right now, that life is much, much better and my anxiety level is much, much lower.
Also, connect with others. Build and maintain strong social connections. Spend time with loved ones, friends, engage in social activities. When you spend time doing things you enjoy or with people you enjoy, it truly makes you feel better.
And we recognize that can be difficult right now. Adults particularly got hit hard with COVID and were born with a level of electronics in their lives and instant messaging and chatting and Discord servers. To be honest, we as true adults don't understand all of it. We understand more than the average bear. But we know that you guys have gotten hit very, very hard with this and that it's uncomfortable. You got to get out there and reconnect physically with others. Humans are designed to be social and tribal people and things. So it really does help you to see and interact with people live. You get the sense of their physical, what is their body language saying? You get better at reading people. And you actually just feel much better, even if you're exhausted. Sometimes myself, I'm just so exhausted, I don't want to do anything. And I know it's important in those moments to go out and find connection with other people and serve those people to the best of my ability. Help them because it takes the focus off me.
Seek support. Don't hesitate to reach out for help when needed. Talk to a trusted friend, family member, or mental health professional. You are your strongest when you're getting the things you need for your mental health.
Don't try to carry the weight yourself when it talks about getting support. When we grew up, when Kathy and I were growing up, there was a much harsher stigma around mental health, addiction, and all of those issues. I can tell you largely professionally and even personally that that stigma is much less today and nothing to be feared. If you think you need help, ask for help. It's the most courageous thing you can do.
Limit your social media. I know this sounds ridiculous because everyone I talk to, anyone that's in the age group that we are trying to help, does pretty much 90% of their social skills and social events on social media. But it's not real. Some of it may be real, but the amount of editing and retakes and the parts that people want you to see of their lives, they're not real. And excessive use of social media, when you believe this is true, can contribute to feelings of anxiety and depression.
There's a phrase for that. It's called curated reality. And that's what the influencers out there are showing you. They're showing you the parts of their life that they want to intentionally show you. It's the highlights of their life. It's not their whole life. Even myself, I find myself thinking, what am I doing wrong based on some of this curated reality I see? It's not realistic, and I'm not a heavy user of social media at all.
Next, set realistic goals. Break down large tasks into smaller, more manageable steps. Celebrate your accomplishments along the way. I know for a fact when I think, oh, I have to clean the entire house, it feels overwhelming, and I sit and I sit and I sit, because it just seems to be too much of a task for me to get done in the amount of time I allotted. But when I break it down and say, today I'm going to clean out the coat closet, and it may take a couple hours, but when it's done, I feel so accomplished because that's something that's off of my radar and I can move on to my next thing.
Now, when it comes to goals, there's a process of setting them. You need to break them down into achievable steps. There's a lifetime of learning that can go into setting and defining and making them measurable. But one of the most important things about goals is don't try to eat the whole elephant at once. one of the earliest karate lessons we taught our students back when I taught at Villari's was to make sure that the student understands a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Practice self-care. Engage in activities that bring you joy and relaxation. This can include hobbies, spending time outside, listening to music. I'm a big proponent of listening to music because I think that when you enjoy music, it makes you happy.
I'm a huge proponent of getting outside. I'm a nature guy myself. Probably will be found someday walking away with a backpack and never being seen again because I'm going to go find Bigfoot and go to his house. You need to eat a healthy diet. Now, this I know is a sticking point for many, many people. But let's be real. We all enjoy chocolate, ice cream, and not so many people are like, ooh, I'm really hankering for some broccoli. So when we talk about eat a healthy diet, use the 80-20 rule. Eat clean 80% of the time. And what that means is cut down on your processed carbs, cut down on foods with additives, and eat whole foods that are kind of low in that processed carbs. And then for 20% of your time, eat whatever you want. Just be reasonable. And it does help a lot.
We know you're in the prime of your lives, that everything goes at a fast pace. It's easy. Pre-made meals are convenient. Drive-throughs are on your way to wherever you're going to get some nourishment. But just remember that taking a few minutes to prepare something healthy for yourself, a salad, a sandwich, getting some fruits and vegetables in, will definitely improve your mood and just help the way you feel. And you'll feel like an adult making your own food.
And I'd like to add a red flag warning here. When we talk about diet, I also want to bring in energy drinks and not diet soda. The amount of caffeine and stuff that are in these things can be unsafe for you. I'm not saying don't have a Red Bull. I'm saying don't have 5 Red Bulls. Don't have 12 cups of coffee. If you want a cola, for example, I don't want to get myself in trouble for using a brand name, but if you want a cola, have one of a medium size. You don't have to get the 77-ounce fountain drink 3 times a day.
Limit alcohol and drugs. Substance use can negatively impact your health. If you struggle with substance use, seek professional help.
I have a lot of experience in that. I'm a dope. I drank way too much for way too many years. And I can tell you that many things kept me from getting the help I should have had. That wait is over. I've taken care of that and it's behind me. And I can tell you that if you're in a situation where you think, if you even think you need to control the amount of using or drinking you're doing, or you do different things to try to control the amount you're doing, then you probably could join some of the clubs I'm in. And if you need help, by the way, reach out through the website. You can definitely get a hold of me there.
Just remember that alcohol is actually a depressant. So although you may drink and feel more social, the more you drink and the longer the night goes on, the more your brain actually becomes depressed. Any type of other substance, any type of drug will make you feel better in the moment. But when you are coming down from that high, you feel worse than you did before you started, which makes you want to do it again, which leads to needing to seek professional help.
And again, don't hesitate. Get the professional help before it gets way out of control.
So there are some mental health pitfalls that we'd like to cover. Young adulthood is a time for significant transition and change. You're graduating high school. You're moving away. You're getting your own apartment. You're getting a full-time job. You're starting college. It's a period where certain mental health pitfalls are more common. We're going to discuss some of the ones we feel are on the top.
Now, because it's a mental health pitfall, does not mean it's the end of your life or you have to wipe out or you are stuck there. It just means that you can watch out for these things. And some of us, in fact, all of us have challenges to our quote unquote mental health as we go through life. We have to learn a skill called resiliency about being tough and getting through. But here are some of those pitfalls that we want you to hopefully avoid. Idealizing social media. We talked about this. It's the curated reality that influencers put out there. And it's easy to fall into the fantasy that that's what life is. I guarantee you that is not the way life is. Life is hard. Life isn't always fair, but life is wonderful and full of things to be grateful for.
And if you're trying to measure your life based on what you're seeing on the internet or on television, it's unrealistic. These things are all scripted. They're all edited. It's not real life. Try not to idealize the people that are out there putting their best foot forward, because you're not seeing the other foot.
Now, that doesn't mean there's not a flip side of this pitfall. You can learn a tremendous amount from some of the people out there. Jocko Willink is one. David Goggins. There's a ton of people out there on social media that are putting real life out there, and they're worth finding. But trying to idealize social media and these influencers of life can lead to feelings of inadequacy, anxiety, depression, and a constant exposure to perfect lives can fuel a sense of not measuring up.
Neglecting your sleep. College, early careers, social life, they can all disrupt your sleep schedule. Chronic sleep deprivation significantly impacts your mood, your concentration, and your overall mental well-being. It can worsen mental health issues and make it harder to cope and with stress.
So what you're saying is maybe you didn't sleep so well last night?
I guess not.
All right. So truth be told, have we ever had problems with our sleeping as adults?
Absolutely.
Life keeps you up sometimes. It can't be a zero-sum game. You're not going to get sleep all the time, but it is important. How about you? In college, do you ever do an all-nighter?
All the time.
High school?
Occasionally.
Same here.
It wasn't go out party all night long. We pulled all-nighters before midterms and before finals. When I got out of college and was a young adult, we went out way too late on nights. We had to get up early for work.
That was the same story for me. How about early career? Any problems with sleep?
Not in my early career, but as soon as I became a parent, then my sleep schedule went out the window.
What? Parenting is difficult and challenging?
Oh, says the man who slept every single night.
I did. Mm-hmm. I definitely slept. But I did have early career challenges with my sleep. As a firefighter, we had a 24/72 schedule. I often went 24 hours without sleep. At larger incidents, I actually have gone several days without sleep.
So the next one we want to talk about is pressure to succeed. The pressure to achieve academic success, career success, social success can be overwhelming. It can lead to anxiety, burnout, feelings of failure, especially if your expectations are unrealistic or self-imposed. The fear of not living up to potential or societal standards can be paralyzing for some. Just take a deep breath, do the best you can, and you will succeed in the things you are really putting your effort into.
And remember, fear just stands for false evidence appearing real. Many times the pressure to succeed is a false narrative. We're talking about we want you to do the absolute best you can in a class, or we want you to perform the best you can in a sport. The best you can may not be successful. As long as you can keep your chin up, your chest out, and say, I did the best I can, I got all the help that was available to me, you've succeeded, regardless of what the definition is. Substance use as a cope mechanism. Again, important not to use substances as a coping mechanism. Normal people can go out and have a drink or two, or 420 friendly people can socially use 420s. I don't know the lingo, guys. Experimentation is common with young people and even young adults. However, using substances to cope with stress, anxiety, and or depression can lead to addiction and worsen mental health problems in the long run. It can create a cycle of dependency and avoidance.
Right. So if you feel as though you're suffering from anxiety or depression, that you can't cope well with stress, or that you have panic attacks, those short-term fixes are not fixes. You really need to figure out a way to deal with it, figure out a routine, call someone that can help you, work on the things that are bothering you, and then maybe go out socially and do those other things for fun and not for coping.
Procrastination and avoidance. Putting off tasks, avoiding difficult situations can provide temporary relief, But as they say, easy todays make harder tomorrows. This can create a cycle of avoidance that makes it harder to face challenges and develop healthy coping mechanisms. It's important to do the things that need doing. One of the things every evening I read actually says, do the hard things first. Famous author out there, Brian Tracy, would say, kiss the frog, get it done. Perfectionism, a huge pitfall to fall in, because none of us, I repeat, none of us are perfect. Striving for perfection can lead to consistent self-criticism, fear of failure, and feelings of inadequacy. Not only that, it's an unattainable target. Perfectionists often set impossibly high standards for themselves, leading to disappointment.
Young adults may dismiss early symptoms of mental health issues, thinking they're just a normal part of stress or growing up. Ignoring these signs can lead to conditions worsening or becoming more difficult to treat. Early intervention is key.
Difficulty setting boundaries. Young adults may struggle to establish healthy boundaries. Newsflash, adults have problems setting healthy boundaries. We can be yes people, we can be no people. We often are people pleasers, and that's all around boundaries. Don't be afraid to set reasonable boundaries at work, in relationships, and in social situations. If you're not setting them, you can feel overwhelmed, taken advantage of, and resentful. Learning to say no and prioritize one's own needs is critical. I will tell you that I firmly believe that self-care is essential, not a selfish act, and you need to set boundaries to make sure your habits, your keystone habits, are being taken care of.
Over-reliance on technology. While technology can be a great tool, excessive screen time and social media can only contribute to anxiety, depression, and social isolation. It can also interfere with sleep and physical activity, further impacting mental well-being.
You guys all have friends that do this. You know it. In fact, you may be that person. You ever go out to dinner or something with your friends? Everyone's sitting at the table looking at their own phones. That's a good example, probably, of over-reliance on technology. Lack of self-care. I fell into this trap as a young adult. I felt everything was more important than myself. I felt that work needed to be performed. I felt everyone needed to take care of before myself. And at 53 years old, I can tell you that my message to my younger self would be to make sure you're taking care of yourself. And as young adults, you may neglect basic self-care practices such as eating healthy, exercising, and engaging in enjoyable activities. You get way off kilter, way out of balance. Self-care is essential for maintaining mental and physical health.
And I find that there are some people that just need some quiet time during the day. They need to get out of the buzz of activity that's going on, the constant talking or questions. They just need a few minutes to have some quiet, think of their own thoughts, and then they can re-engage in activity. If you're that person, take the time.
We've all had friends that kind of are losing it or having a challenge. So what do you do for them? First and most importantly is you want to recognize the signs. What's going on with your friend?
Is there a change in their behavior? Are they emotionally distressed?
Are they having difficulty functioning? Are they having a hard time verbalizing, or are they verbalizing that they want to hurt themselves or others?
Take it seriously. Never dismiss someone's feelings or tell them just to snap out of it or get over it. Acknowledge their pain and let them know that you're there for them.
You want to offer reassurance and avoid giving unsolicited advice. Many times, they're just looking to vent.
Ask questions directly. Ask them, are you thinking about hurting yourself? Do you have a plan? People think that by asking this question, you're putting that in someone's head. That is not true. It is a myth. And if any of the answers to those questions are yes, go get an adult or a professional to help them.
Don't leave them alone. If your friend is expressing suicidal intent or is in immediate danger, don't leave them alone. Stay with them and seek that help immediately. That help might be 911 if you can't get somebody else around. Involve other trusted adults. If it's appropriate, let's say you guys, you're an adult in high school or young in college. You may know the parents of the person who's having this crisis, and you may want to get them involved.
And remember to take care of yourself. being with somebody or supporting a friend through a mental health crisis is emotionally draining to you as well.
And it's important to know your limits. You're a friend to this adult. You're not a therapist. You can offer support and encouragement, but you can't provide professional treatment. Encourage your friend to seek professional help and don't feel guilty if you can't fix their problem.
And remember, if your friend is in immediate danger of harming themselves or others, call 911.
And follow up after the crisis is over. And all of us have days where we're just overwhelmed and sometimes we freeze and we can't handle it. And it's okay. Don't be afraid to follow up with them after. Ask how they're doing. Let them know that you're still there for them.
And remember, you may think that older adults, don't understand your mental health issues, but they do. They just may not verbalize it the same way.
You have access to information at a level unprecedented in history. You guys can get help just at the tips of your fingers, so make sure you're using it. Information's out there, readily accessible. Also understand that adults and young teenage or older teenagers all have different experiences, and the different life experiences leads to different levels of resilience in life and different mental outlooks on it. Young people face unique stressors related to development, social pressures, academic performance, and the transition to adulthood. Those are all stressful changes. Put them on top of you at once, and it's a lot of things to get through.
Just remember, you've got this, adults. Keep your head up, your spirits high, and keep adulting with us. Go forth and conquer the world, or at least your to-do list.
And don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe. Tell your friends, share the podcast, and head over to adulting.com for more information and to connect with us. See you on the next episode. Be safe.